Welcome, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to the God Factor podcast, where we have conversations about what it looks like, what it means to live with intention and with purpose. And it's your girl, Abiola Makanjola. And how are you doing? I hope you are having an amazing time in the world. The reason why I was laughing at the beginning before, like in the middle of the introduction, was because my recording software, I'm not sure exactly what's going on, but it just like once I hit record, it kind of like popped up balloons on the screen and it just made me happy. So I was smiling, hence the reason why I was giggling at the beginning of the conversation. But anywho, I hope you're having an amazing time in the world. Today, I wanted to talk about jealousy. And I feel like that's not something that's really been spoken about, or maybe it is, but I'm just not aware of it. But I wanted to just shed some light on it and just some of the revelations that came to me while doing Bible study. So one of the things that I've struggled with is the spirit of jealousy, and that really just came from growing up. It came from not feeling good enough. It came from, and I don't know how many people can relate to this, how many people listening to this can relate to this. I come from Nigeria, a very traditional background that is now being exposed to a whole lot of things. But back then, I'm talking like I'm 50 years old. No. But growing up, you know, there was a lot of Nigerians value education, and I think it's still that way till today. I would like to believe and say, please don't quote me, I would like to say that Nigerians are one of the most educated people you'll find in the world. We believe in the value of education. And when I say education, it's like the literal institution of education. So going to school, getting a degree and all that stuff. I myself have 5 degrees to my name. Yes, I do. So growing up, there was just that I was one of those people that, despite having 5 degrees, I was one of those people who did not necessarily like or enjoy school. I didn't know exactly what it was for. However, there was also that belief that the only path to success was for me to be able to go to school and excel in school. So, of course, it was a conflict when I wasn't doing really good at school, my schoolwork, and that was interpreted as I wasn't going to be successful because I wasn't doing well at school. Being the first child, and having a younger sister who is a smart ass. Like, this girl is a doctor out in New York. She went to med school. That says a lot. So having that, being compared to that, put a lot of pressure on me because, you know, in my head, having associated education with success growing up, you know, there was a lot of fear brewing inside of me that I wasn't going to be successful. I wasn't going to be wealthy. I wasn't going to have money. I wasn't going to find my path. I was going to end up having to leave up for family members or begging. So that led to jealousy. Jealousy in terms of, you know, just being jealous of my sister and just watching her just excel through school and just, you know, doing what she does. And then me, I'm here struggling and just trying to find out exactly what, like, who am I? What is my passion? Like, why am I here? Like, just trying to find out. It's not even, you know what? Let's not even go as deep as into who am I. It's just trying to find my way through school. Hence the reason why I got 5 degrees. But hindsight is 20/20 because I've now come out of that thought process to figure out that everybody has their specialty. Everybody has their passion. Everybody has their gift. And that gift is supposed to, that gift will in turn turn into financial independence. So that's definitely still a trigger for me in terms of whenever it is that I see somebody doing something online or even in person, there's that trigger for me to want to move towards what that person is doing. And if they're successful at it, let me add that caveat. Whenever I see somebody doing something and they seem successful, again, I believe success is very subjective. Everybody has different ways of defining success. For me, success is being able to do what it is that I love. I actually have it on my phone screen. Being able to do what it is that I love, making money from doing what I love, Have fun while doing it. Stay true to myself and do it with joy. That's my definition of success. So I believe success is very subjective. However, success has also been attributed to money. So it's like when you have money, it means you're successful. When I see people, or when I attribute people's fame and their online presence to having money, I get triggered because I'm reminded that, oh, I'm not doing what it is that I'm, it almost feels like I should be doing what they're doing, or I get triggered that I should be walking in the same path that they're walking in. So for me, I have learned to go down this rabbit hole of processing that thought, because the truth is, if somebody is making good money as a, let's say, a sales consultant, the fact that they're making money doesn't necessarily mean that that's what I enjoy. So they might enjoy being a sales consultant and they're making good money off of it, right? But that doesn't mean that I will enjoy it or even make money off of it, because for one, the moment that I don't enjoy doing that stuff, then it reflects in my delivery. It reflects in how I present myself, or I present that particular thing to whoever it is that I'm selling it to. And of course, energy doesn't lie. They would not be able to buy into it. And then I just go down this rabbit hole of beating myself up. So I do get triggered. And one of such incidents happened yesterday. So I've been talking about, well, a friend of mine approached me. So I do have a book. It's called The Blessing of the Weight. I don't have it here. I should have it here, but I'll insert it at the end of this video if you're watching on YouTube. But it's called The Blessing of the Weight. It's available on Amazon, UK, US, and Canada. Basically talks about purpose and God's blessings for our life, and what that looks like when we decide to take time and just, you know, in between whatever it is that we're doing, take time in our lives to actually sit down and seek answers from the Holy Spirit, as opposed to just doing because we think that that's what we're supposed to be doing. So a friend was like, oh, Biola, let's do a relaunch of your book. Let's do an event around your book. And I was like, bet, sure. So we had put up a date to do that in April of this year, 2024. But I've just been stalling and I haven't really done anything about it. Just been dragging my feet. Then sometime last week, or I'd say 2 weeks ago, I met up with the group of friends that we had spoken about it. And everybody was asking me, Biola, what about that event? Biola, what about that event? Biola, what about that event? And I'm like, oh man, I'll definitely put something together. Again, stalled, didn't necessarily do anything. Well, until about a week later, I formed a group. I put people in the group, spoke about it, chose a month, but I haven't done anything since then. So yesterday I was on Instagram and I just saw a beautiful Sarah Jex Roberts. She had put up a post about her book tour happening in the States, her new book, Power Moves, happening. She had about 6 different locations, and there was this promotional video that just looked so dope. And I'm a follower of Sarah Jakes Roberts. Like, I do like Sarah Jakes Roberts. So I saw the promotional video and I was just like, man. And you know, that jealous thought just came through. Something in my eyes. Anywho, that jealous thought just came through again. And immediately my first thought was, I want to do my own too. I want to do like this. I want to be like this. I want people to. And then I went into the comment section and I just saw how people were like, yes, we're ready, blah, 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 blah. And then that thought, I got triggered. It was like, I want to do mine. I want to do that. I want to be like this. I want people to comment on my video. I want people to comment on my stuff. And I was just like, oh, man, not again. And I could find myself going, or I could see myself going down that rabbit hole of wanting to do things the way that I saw her doing it, not even necessarily knowing what the behind the scenes looks like, or the preparation that had led up until that moment of her releasing that promotional video. But it was just me wanting to do things because I'd seen her doing it, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, man. But anyway, this morning, I was reading, doing my Bible study, and in the book of Thessalonians, chapter 5, verse 11, I think. I'm just going to open up my notes here to make sure that I have the right. Yes, chapter 5, verse 11 says, encourage one another and build up one another, just as in fact you are doing. And the question of how do I encourage you when that jealous feeling occurs? How do I encourage you to keep doing what you're doing when things are not happening for me? That's a question that I had to ask. And that's the reality, that there's going to be times where I want something to happen for me, but it might not be happening for me in that moment. Or maybe it's not just time. Or maybe there's certain things that I had to learn in the process before that happens to me. Or maybe it's not even in the will of God for that thing to happen to me. Or maybe something different. I have to be patient. But then I see it happening for somebody else. How do I encourage that person to be like, keep going, keep going? How do I encourage you without feeling that spirit of jealousy come through? That was a real question for me. It was a very vulnerable moment. And I meditated on the word. I meditated on that word. I meditated on that, part of the Bible. And it was very eye-opening for me because I got to ask myself the question of, what exactly is it that I'm holding on to? Am I really holding on to, again, this is for when I get triggered. Am I really holding on to that thing that I want to happen? Or is it, or what does it mean to me? Does it mean something to me, or is it the result of what I think it looks like? So let me explain here. So I went down this rabbit hole of processing that thought. And it was really an eye-opening moment for me because I had to ask myself, what does this particular situation mean to me? Why is it triggering for me to see somebody else do something? And get triggered by it. What exactly does it mean to me? So obviously, in this situation or in this example that I gave with Sarah Jakes, it wasn't so much the book tour that she was doing. It was more what I attributed to the fame of it, or the reach that she's been able to have. So for me, that reach is some sort of validation that I'm doing something. So I am focusing more on the reach. I'm focusing more on the engagement because, to be honest, I had to be very honest with myself that if, with that thought process that I was having and everything that came through, if another person with the exact same blueprints was put side by side with Sarah Jakes, but then they didn't have that reach, or they didn't have the same engagement that she had, would I still get triggered by whatever it is that they were doing? And the answer was no, I would not. So for me, I had to shift from, it's not even so much about the fact that she's doing a book tour or she's bringing the kingdom of God on earth. It's more about what I'm, the meaning I'm associating with the reach and the engagement, which is something that I always pray about. I always say I want my voice to be heard in all over the world. I want my messaging to be translated into over 400 languages, or however many languages that they are. And I don't think that I've ever really sat down to process why I pray that prayer. Is it part of God's plan for me, or is it just part of my own ego to be able to feel like, I'm doing something. Finally, people see me. Finally, people hear me. This is such a vulnerable moment for me, right? So I really had to flesh that out. And the truth is, when I'm associating meaning, I'm giving this fame and all of these things meaning, the effect of that is I don't operate from a place of truth. I might as well just stand up and do things that seem theatric, that seem performative, because I am looking for a certain reaction from people. I'm looking for a certain type of engagement from people, as opposed to when I'm operating in truth. And one of the fruits of operating in truth is people will hear you. I don't know how many people, but people will hear you. People will see you because you're operating from a place of truth. So for me, it really did put things in perspective. It really allowed me to hone into those triggers and why those triggers were coming through and exactly what was triggering me about this situation. Do I want to focus on the world? Focus on how many people are listening to my messages? Focus on how many people are hearing me? Focus on how many people my message is reaching? Am I going to get that? Like, am I going to allow people fuel that for me? Am I going to get that validation? Am I going to continue to seek that validation to continue to keep me going? Or do I want to focus on the word? Do I want to focus on the fruit, on the truth, which is spreading God's word, regardless of how that looks like? Speaking the truth, sharing my experiences from a godly perspective, regardless of how that looks like, regardless of how many people it's reaching, regardless of who's hearing, regardless of who's seeing it. And I think it's one of the mistakes that I've seen people make, one of the things that I've seen people do, that we have to really be mindful about, because what we live in such a trendy society. When something is trending, everybody wants to jump on that bandwagon, without necessarily asking the question, why am I doing this in the first place? Why is this important to me? Am I this kind of a person? We just want to jump on that bandwagon. I remember, like, I would say when makeup started to become really popular. I mean, makeup has always been popular, but then there was just a time where people just started popping up as, you know, makeup artists. And it was like everybody was just going towards becoming a makeup artist. And I was like, oh, okay. Even people who might not have necessarily had the, you can learn the skill sets, but there's also this innate passion for just being artistic, for just wanting to enhance stuff. There's also that innate passion that comes with makeup. For somebody like me, I'm not a makeup person. Like, I do like makeup, but it's not something that I would go and learn, because it's not something that fuels me. But with that whole trend, there was just that everybody was just jumping on that bandwagon, makeup, makeup, makeup. Everybody you looked to was like, I'm a makeup artist, I'm a makeup artist, I'm a makeup artist. And it was that instance, or it was a situation like that, that led to that influx of so many people just being makeup artists, where they didn't necessarily figure out if that was even something that they liked, or if that was something that really called out to them. It was just, I'm going to get my kit, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that, and I'm a makeup artist, right? It was such a world that just jumps on trends, that jumps on bandwagons. And sometimes I don't know if we really sit with ourselves to figure out why this trend is important to us. If we're looking at the fluff that it comes with, or what we think is success, or we're actually looking at it from a place of, huh, this is something that I'm actually interested in. This is something that fuels me. This is something that I'm passionate about, and I'm going to put my feet into it, and I'm going to see how it works for me. So I think it's important. Not I think. That's something that I'm making a conscious effort to stop saying. Not I think. It's important for us to really dig deep and really ask ourselves that question of why. Because when we're in a situation where we know who we are, we know what our purpose is, we know why we're doing what we're doing, it makes it easy to be able to celebrate other people. It makes it easy to be able to encourage other people, even when our own blessing hasn't shown up, even when our own blessing is not there. It makes it easy, because now the situation that I spoke with about my sister, I celebrate her being a doctor, because I know that I cannot be a doctor. I'm so interested in being in, like, the world of obstetrics and gynecologist. Please forgive me if I pronounce the first word wrongly, but OBGYN, I'm so obsessed with that field in terms of like just, you know, I've been in the labor room with like two different people and seen how they've given birth to children. And it's something that I want to continue to experience. And I've actually begged my sisters, whenever you guys are giving birth, please call me. I want to be there. You know, but obviously, I know that's just one part of that field. There's so much more that when I delve into it, or if I decide to delve into it, I might not be interested in. It's not something that I'm interested in to go into, like, I'm not committed to that field, right? But I celebrate my sister and I learn through her and I, like, you know, live out that dream through her. And I know, like, I see her passionate, I see her commitment and her dedication to that field, to what it is that she does. And I celebrate and I'm happy for her that she's found something that just keeps her going, that she's committed to, that continues to allow her, like, that she wakes up every day and she's like, okay, I'm gonna go, regardless of how shitty of a day I had the day before, regardless of how, you know, some days are sad, I'm still gonna go because this is what I love. I celebrate that about her. And I know for me, that's not my field, that's not my lane. And as long as I continue to focus on the things that God has blessed me with, as long as I continue to focus on my own purpose, as long as I continue to discover myself, I know that I will excel. I know that I will succeed. I know that I will win in my lane as long as I continue to move and as long as I continue to walk in my path. So the whole purpose of this conversation is really to begin to break down why we do some of the things that we do. Who are we at our core? Why do we do some of the things that we do? And some of that question can start to be answered by really just challenging those thoughts that come through. Instead of just sitting with this and just saying, oh, well, I'm a jealous person. You were not born to be jealous. Something did happen for that jealous spirit to be ingrained inside of you. So now we can undo that spirit. We can challenge that spirit. We don't have to live with the jealous spirit. We don't have to live with the spirits that God did not intend for us to live with. We can present it to God and say, these are the circumstances surrounding this particular thing, and I'm ready to move on from it. I'm ready to see things differently. I'm ready to see me how you see me. I hope this has been beneficial for somebody listening out there. I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? Please reach out to me via email, thegodfactorpodcast@gmail.com, or through Instagram, either Thrive with Abby or at The God Factor Podcast. Facebook, Abiola Makonjola. I still use Facebook here. I think those are all my social media. I'm on TikTok, but Instagram or email will work. TikTok is just for vibes. I like TikTok for vibes. But yeah, let me know what you think. I'll be more than happy to hear from you. I appreciate you so much for taking out the time to watch. Have an amazing day in the world, and I will catch you on the next video or recording. Have a great day.